Start some trouble and call the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
To save his life, call his wife. And
hey, how we doing? 4:05 on this Thursday morning. McMonagle here with you. 888-808-1019. I got you for another hour until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. We're talking baseball mainly on this show. I know we got Thursday Night Football, Dolphins, and Buffalo Bills. We can get to that a little bit. But we've focused mainly on the baseball as we are in the midst of a pennant race. Both of these teams on a nightly basis, a daily basis for the Mets who played yesterday afternoon. We're scoreboard watching. We're focusing on this. And for me, I talked about it yesterday, how important it is for the best players to show up. And both the Yankees and the Mets had their best players, or you know, one of their better players, show up. And that Lindor home run yesterday, if you haven't had a chance to go see it, go see it. As they are being no hit in Toronto. No hit through eight innings by Bowden Francis. And Francisco Lindor takes an 0-2 fastball and absolutely crushes it and changes everything about the Mets as they're about to head in and embark on a trip to Philadelphia for three over the weekend. That, you know, really begins a stretch that will determine their season. Three against Philadelphia, three against the Nationals, four against Philadelphia, and then home for the Braves. That will determine where the Mets finish up. And if they were to head into that stretch, losing two out of three to Toronto, the last place Toronto Blue Jays, being no hit and having their offense completely shut down, and even the one game they would have won in the series, winning it with runs in the eighth inning off of wild pitches and passed balls. Really no offense to speak of a group that, yes, they're pitching tremendously. Even Manaea in this game yesterday allows one run, has continued to just be a force here for the Mets, and their starting pitching has been great. Their bullpen's been better. You know, Diaz has been much better since the blow-up against the Diamondbacks. You know, you saw Reed Garrett in this game who's been much better. But this team, for me, still thrives on its offense. And to go into that series starting on Friday, coming off losing two out of three to this lousy Blue Jays team with no offense to speak of and having it end with a no-hitter, even with the accompanying Atlanta Braves loss, tied in the wild card spot, they would have been. Now they're game up, obviously. That would have been an enormous, enormous just down feeling heading into that series. And instead, that home run leads to a six-run inning. You win two out of three, you battle back, you show resiliency and toughness that you've shown all year, and your leader, your MVP, Francisco Lindor, leads you there again, and right now you are ready to take on the world, and Friday is a must-watch, big-time game, big-time series that not only the Met fan, but the entire baseball world is going to be focused on as we start to really hone in on who's going to be these wild card teams and what's going on with the postseason, where the standings are. Like, these are impactful games throughout Major League Baseball, and the Mets have set themselves up for a very fun last 2.5 weeks or so. And right now, they're game up in the wild card, and we watch every single night. And the New York Yankees did the same as Juan Soto takes one off of the top of his ankle, writhing in pain. Yankee fans around the country, head in hand, knowing that if that is a significant injury, you could say goodbye to any hopes still remaining. And I know how much little faith you Yankee fans have in this team, but any faith you do have would be evaporated with a Juan Soto injury. He gets up and proceeds to hit a two-run home run to turn around the game, give the Yankees a lead. Clay Holmes would give it back. The Yankees would battle back in the 10th to tie it up and win it in the 11th with a Jazz Chisholm walk-off infield single. And along with a walk-off home run for the Boston Red Sox over the Baltimore Orioles, the Yankees are a game and a half, two in the loss column, up over the Orioles for first place. The Mets are securely a game up for the third wild card. And baseball is alive and well. Yes, we have football, and yes, we have to talk about Daniel Jones and the Giants, and yes, we have to talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, and we have over the course of the week, and tomorrow will be a football Friday, and we'll get into it. And there is a game tonight, Thursday Night Baseball, which should be a good one. Thursday Night Baseball, I'm losing my mind. Thursday Night Football, thank you. Baseball, 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 it's all I care about. The Yankee Shill, Yankee Hot Stove, welcome aboard. 888-808-1019. Danny and Belrose, what's up, Danny?
Hey, good morning, Chris. How's it going?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm pretty good. So, good win last night. Like I said yesterday on the radio, it was a close game. You know, but like I said, it came out to the bullpen. The bullpen was better, even though besides Clay Holmes. Thank God he's not the closer. You know,
yeah.
It was like a blown save.
By the way, I forgot to mention this. How in the world? I know this is the Clay Holmes defender in me. How in the world is that a blown save? I thought Michael Kay said it's technically a blown save.
It's not technically, but it would have been.
Well, it's, I don't know what would have been. It's the seventh inning. He couldn't have gotten a save. How the hell could he blow one? It makes no sense to me.
If he was in the ninth, it would have been a blown save.
Well, I understand that because if he was in the ninth, it would have been a save. No, I know. Theoretically, he could have pitched three innings, but in today's day and age, no one's pitching three innings. Like, that's nonsense of a blown save. He gave up two singles and then got the next three guys out.
Yeah. But Chisholm had that clutch hit at the end, and Soto looked great, you know. That home run was an enormous home run for Soto.
They were shut down the day before. And completely shut down. One of the better pitching performances. Lugo threw one of the better pitching performances we've seen this year against the Yankees. Completely shut down. And they were being shut down again in this game by another left-handed pitcher. And, you know, they gave up a home run from, obviously, Luis Gil, who pitched relatively well in this game, lost it for a little bit. I wanted to talk about Luis Gil and whether he could transition to a bullpen and why I think this start shows you I wouldn't do that. But...
No.
I mean, to get that home run, change the game, and for the Yankee team, yeah, the bullpen's been much better. I mean, right now, Weaver has been dynamic as the closer. He's screaming off the mound. He's giving you those, you know, big moment, big game feels. Cousins in that slider has been dynamic. He made a great play to pick off Pham and get out of a jam. And then even Canely's been pretty good. So the bullpen's kind of turned around. The pitching has been much better. The offense is still in a slump, and namely Judge. I mean, Soto broke out of a little bit between the two of them. They've been hitting under 200 the last 50 at-bats for each of them. They need to snap out of this because I talked about it yesterday. They need them. And Soto showed up yesterday. We need Judge to show up tomorrow or later today.
The commentators during the game was saying about Judge. He's just missing it on the ball. So I think it's just timing, honestly.
You're not gonna be perfect all year long. He's absolutely missing pitches, though, no doubt about it. And again, I know we're going to quibble about a bunch of different things. I had no problem with going to Clay Holmes. I know many Yankee fans disagree with me. I was wrong about keeping him in the closer position. Totally wrong. I'm open to, obviously. And Weaver's been great, and Weaver should be the closer. I think we should, still go on matchups on some level, but Weaver's been good enough over these two turns. I just put him in the closer role. But whatever the case may be, I mentioned the three guys the Yankees have. They have Weaver, they have Cousins, they have Canely. We're going to see about Hamilton. He's just coming back from injury. He's made one appearance. Maybe you can add him to the list. The Yankees have 2.5 weeks to try and win this division. And then once that happens, whether it's the wild card or the division, you have to try and win the World Series. Do you really expect to do all of that with three relievers you trust? Like I know it's a one-run game, and Clay Holmes has blown saves, and apparently he blew this save, which tells you all you need to know about blown saves as a stat in general. But you're not going to make it through on relying on three relievers alone. You're going to have to trust Clay Holmes on some level. You're going to have to give him opportunities on some level. They don't have anybody else. They're going to need more than three guys. Pitching him in the seventh inning of a one-run game. And by the way, he gave up one run. He didn't implode. He didn't blow the game. He gave up two hits. One of them was a seeing eye single. One was a hard line drive. And then he got two fly balls and a strikeout. He gave up a sacrifice fly. I'm not praising his outing. I'm not telling you it was a good one. He gave up the lead. But they had to get four innings. You didn't think they were going to give up a run? The offense has got to score more than two runs, and thankfully they did in extra innings. They were able to get it done, and Juan Soto's home run was enormous, and they need better from Judge. But, like, I don't understand. Like, I really feel like Clay Holmes has been better than most people think. He needed to come out of the closer role. I agree. But he's only had a couple outings where he's just thrown the ball terribly. He's got to be someone. He's been one of their best relievers since he's been here. He's got to be someone you got to trust in some moment. He's also a sinker ball pitcher who needs some kind of work. You can't just put him on the shelf. And then if the day you ever do need him, because let's be honest, say a run was given up, it's not impossible. Say a run was given up in this game, you might need him in extra innings. You might need him now if you throw everybody for multiple innings against the Red Sox for a four-game set. Like, you're going to need him. And you can't just, like, leave him on the shelf for 6 days and because you can't use him in any tight ball games. Like, he's going to come in and be terrible when you bring him in. Val in the Bronx. What's up, Val?
Brother Mac, what's going on, Don? How you doing this morning, man?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm all right. I like the segue from the previous conversation because I got a couple of things I want to talk to you about with the Yanks tonight. But one of them is Clay Holmes. You know, I like what Boone was trying to do because I understand, you know, their vision. Somewhere along the line, your bullpen, in their mind, their vision, the bullpen, the ideal is Clay Holmes somewhere in there. And I heard you say something earlier, and I did agree just a little bit because I like the idea of trying to mix and match. I told you that before with the analytics department. This is the time for them to mixing and matching with the, you right. know, now is the time to tell me about the lanes with the bullpen. You know what I'm saying? And I like how they're deploying guys. And I even understand how Boone tried to put Holmes out there, you know, to deploy him again. But that what I need from him, that heavy sinker has to come back because, you know, it has to be a guarantee. At this point, we're trying to find points where we could deploy him to guarantee us a ground ball. He has to get that heavy sinker back. He has to get it back. I don't know how like, you know, saying it and getting him to do it is two different things. But that's really because I like what they're trying to do with the bullpen and the way they're deploying it. You know, and then the other point I wanted to make you know, I thought about you earlier because with the, you know, based on your conversation yesterday, you know, Soto had his moment where he hit it off his foot and everybody was scared and everything like that. And then once it went out, you know, there it goes. He hit one out and we got it going. That's why it would have been nice if Clay was able to kind of hold him down able to carry us through.
I mean, for me at least, it didn't blow the momentum of that because they never trailed. Like, yes, you gave up the run. Now it's 2-2. Go win a ball game. You're at home. You're the Yankees. Like, if he would have given up a 3-run home run or something and now they're down 4-2, yes, that would have been a disaster. He gave up one run. Now it's a tie game. You're still in a position to go win the baseball game. Like, and I get it. He gave up the lead. I'm not saying Clay Holmes should be back in. I still think he's below those other three guys in the pecking order, no doubt, but you're going to need him. You can't. He hadn't pitched since earlier in the Cubs series. You can't just ignore him. I know Yankee fans want to just ignore him, put him on a shelf. They're not going to do that, nor should they. Like he's not been lighter, right? He's not been that bad. I still think they need Clay Holmes if they're going to do this. Stuart in Brooklyn, what's up, Stuart?
Good morning, C-Max.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
How are you? Yeah, you're right about Clay Holmes. I mean, he has to get that sinker back, but, you know, I think he should be like the 8th inning guy or 7th inning guy.
That's where he was last night.
Less pressure because he's not operating well this year under pressure. And you're right, he's a contact pitcher. And when they contact, things can happen.
He's got as good a strikeout numbers as anybody else in the bullpen. He's striking out, you know, more than a guy per inning.
Yeah, but then how many How many games has he blown?
Yeah,
how many? 11?
Yeah, no, he's blown. I guess if they're going to include last night, he's blown 12. I get it. And they took him out of the closer role. I just don't think, you know, Yankee fans want to see him never pitch again. Like, it's not going
to
happen.
I don't want to never see him pitch again. I'd like to see him pitch and not in the ninth inning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, he pitched in the seventh inning last night.
I would like to see the Marshall in center and judge him left.
I think that's...
Soto in left, judge him right.
Yeah.
Whichever one works.
Well, I mean, I wouldn't mess with Soto out in right field, especially at Yankee Stadium. I want to give him the least amount of ground to cover. But I think you're right. I'm surprised that it seems like they're going to keep Dominguez in left and keep Judge in center. I would switch it. He's been poor defensively. He has. Judge has been poor defensively. And it's a lot of ground to cover, and I don't know if, you know, I'm starting to get I'm not getting, like, nervous about Judge, but let's be fair. At the end of last year and into the 2 years ago, excuse me, when he had his great season, he was playing a lot of center field into the playoffs. I don't know if he was because he was tired or whatever the case may be. He had a miserable series against the Astros, and he had a bad playoff. Didn't do too much against Cleveland either. Like, I don't know if he's tired at the end of these years. I don't know if it's because he's carrying so much, he's hitting so much, he's playing center field, whatever the case may be. That's why they're going to try and give him these days off. They're going to DH him probably a couple more times over the next 2 weeks because they want to get him healthy. But right now, his swing just is not quite right, and he's missing a bunch of balls he never misses. And he's having at-bats that, you know, just aren't up to his quality. And I talked about it yesterday, the both of them, and Juan Soto came through with a huge home run. I mean, a huge home run. They needed that desperately. And then really the other key to this game is Weaver. And another conversation with the starting pitching is Luis Gil, who I think has earned a real discussion. Now, he's wild. That's why for me, and now I think it's over. I think they've had enough answers out of the back end of the bullpen. I don't think anybody's really clamoring for Luis Gil to be the closer or a high-end reliever, even though the innings limits is still an issue. But you saw it in this game. You saw it in the first inning. He threw 11 out of 15 balls outside the strike zone. You can't have someone who's prone to that, and that's not the first time that's happened. You can't have Luis Gil coming out of the bullpen just not being able to throw strikes. And we've seen that for him, especially in the first inning. Like, that's when he comes out of the pen onto the mound, it takes him a while to find the strike zone. I want him as a starter. His fastball plays, his breaking ball plays. Yeah, I mean, if he could throw strikes in the bullpen, he could be dynamic. I don't trust him to do that. And he's been, you know, he doesn't give you great length as a starter, but he's been, you know, 5 innings, 1 run. Last start, 6 innings, 1 run. I'll take 11 innings of 2-run baseball. And right now, with obviously Clark Schmidt coming back from injury, with Nestor Cortez kind of the odd man out, I suppose, with the 6-man rotation. You got Carlos Rodon. I don't know if you trust him. You're going to throw him in a postseason series, but I don't know if I really trust him. And then, obviously, Stroman, who right now is probably their worst starting pitcher. I think they need Luis Gil in the rotation. But that was a good win. That was a big positive win. And these Yankees, it's amazing. They can't seem to beat these under 500 teams, but they've played well against these playoff teams. And that felt like a playoff game last night. In extra innings, I know I was pacing around my house. It felt like a playoff game to me.
Chargers and the New York Giants have exchanged their draft picks.
When this happened, you talked about it on The Fan.
Eli Manning and Philip Rivers.
When New York sports happens, talk about it here. The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the Free Odyssey app.
All right, 4:30. McMonagle here with you on The Fan. You know, I have this fear, I always do, of whatever reason, of like accidentally texting the wrong person. Like every time I write a text, I always make sure it's in the right chain or whatever. I make sure, like I have this fear I'm going to like send something wrong or do something wrong, email the wrong person. I kind of have a little bit of like that. I'll double check the email who I'm sending it to, that I'm not sending it to like all. I make sure, you know, I make sure I'm responding to an email without responding to all. I'll double check it 40 times. Like I always have this fear of my phone being on in my pocket and everything. And Shannon Sharp had the ultimate one of those. Like, this is my fear, although I don't have this fear in particular, I guess. I don't know. I've never thought of it this way. But, like, accidentally going live something, tweeting out the wrong thing, leaving my phone around, then my kids playing with it, and I left Twitter on my phone, and they tweet out just gibberish or something. Like, I always have that fear. And for Shannon Sharp, apparently he went live on his Instagram in the middle of, and I'll quote him, being a healthy, active male. So I guess right in the middle of some afternoon delight, somehow his phone went live on Instagram, and you could hear the lovemaking session. And I guess initially someone on his team or whatever, his publicist or somebody, immediately tweeted out that his phone was hacked and that they're feverishly working on getting it fixed. And then on his podcast with Ocho Cinco, he just flat out came out and admitted it. He said, no, my phone wasn't hacked. My phone wasn't hacked. It wasn't a prank. It was me being a healthy, active male. I mean, now look, for him, I don't know. I'm sure ESPN's probably not thrilled about it. I mean, it's up the alley for the podcast. And I'm sure right this minute, I haven't talked to him. I haven't been out in the newsroom yet, but I'm sure right this minute, Jerry is getting all the appropriate sound for it, and you'll get much more in depth into this story in the morning show and the warm-up show. But that is, like, when I first saw it, like, I've always had that fear. Like, that I'll tweet out the wrong thing, I'll say the wrong thing, my phone will start doing something, like, I'll text the wrong person, I'll email the wrong person. Never had the fear of, like, lovemaking being sent out live. But, hey, you get new fears every day. 888-808-1019. We've talked mainly baseball. We do have football. We have football tonight. Should be a good game on Thursday Night Football with Josh Allen and the Bills taking on Tua Tagovailoa and the Miami Dolphins. It sounds like Jalen Ramsey is going to play. We'll see if this is a legitimate hand injury for Josh Allen. I think I'm leaning towards, what is it, 2.5 now? I think I'm leaning towards Miami here tonight. I don't love it, but I think if I had to, I think I would lean towards Miami. They played really great that second half, right? The Bills came out slow, fell behind, and then Allen and that offense just dominated a weak defensive team for the Arizona Cardinals. And I feel like Miami got their scare, right? They played terribly the first half against Jacksonville. And then that fumble from ATN just completely changed the game. The offense picked up from there. And I just think Buffalo going, on the road to Miami, this Miami offense against this Buffalo undermanned, defense, not as good because of the salary cap situation. They lost some players there. And plus, if Josh Allen... there's some thought that he's having trouble getting under center. Like, if he's strictly out of shotgun, like, I don't know if that dramatically changes anything. But they're kind of, with their wide receiving core focused on running the football, I just don't know if they're going to play as well. And I know Miami didn't have a great game, but if I had to, I think I would probably lean Miami in this offense, figuring out a way in that building tonight. Score enough points to cover. That would be my go-to tonight, but it should be a good game either way. Let's go to Brett in Long Island. What's up, Brett?
Good morning, Chris. There's three things I want to go over just to think about.
Okay.
Okay. Daniel Jones, you say year six, right? So let's go with that first. He hasn't even played four complete seasons. He's played his 61st game, which is less than four seasons. That's the first thing.
I wonder why.
I'm just saying, when you say 6 years, it just sounds like, 6 years. No,
it is 6 years.
It's less than four.
It's 6 years. Right,
but he's played,
He's been the Giants starting quarterback for six seasons.
Right, okay, he's played 61 games. Second of all, there's three quarterbacks in the NFL that were picked, were higher than him, that make a boatload of more money than him.
Yeah.
That have losing records, and two of them, their records are comparable to him.
Mm-hmm.
And those are Kyler Murray,
yep,
right, starting quarterback, Justin Herbert, done nothing, injured, nothing, losing record.
Yep.
And Trevor Lawrence, terrible record, another guy, making way more money. Those are three right there, active quarterbacks.
I would do everything in my power to replace him with either one of those three.
Okay, they're all losing and bad.
Okay.
It gets in the field. Next. Okay, these are facts, just to think about.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, under Daboll, Daniel Jones, first year under Daboll, went to the divisional round. I don't care how he did. I don't care if he had 15 touchdowns, passing, 8 running.
Convenient.
23 there. Smart. Only five turns. He did what he had to do on a terrible team, and you could say they overachieved. Once they got to the Eagles, we know what happened. It's just a way better team. They got killed.
Yeah.
Okay. Then the next year, he got hurt. It was terrible. He had a bad start.
No, no, okay. Thank you. I was going to say, because he didn't get hurt week one. He played six games, and they were awful. Okay.
So he played six games, and he looked bad, 1-5. I believe I heard you said Daboll is good. You buy into him. So really, he only has a season and seven games with Daboll. And you want to pull the plug. Like I said, I want to see this whole season out, right?
Yeah, he ain't going to get the whole season. Said.
You're talking possible. I'm not quoting, but you know, I could just feel it. You're ready to tank, right? Already. It's one game. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not ready to tank just yet. No, I'm not ready to tank just yet. No, but I have zero faith in Daniel Jones. And you want to talk about those players. How many points have they put up? How many touchdowns has Herbert thrown? How many? Like, he can't complete a pass to 5 yards in front of him for a wide open wide receiver for a first down. Did you watch the game? He threw at everybody's feet. He was awful. You're giving me Justin Herbert. Yeah, he hasn't won.
Too, by the way.
Please stop.
Even
it was
that.
Atrocious.
Since
he signed the contract, since he signed the contract, he has more pick sixes than touchdown passes.
Oh, that's so petty.
It's petty. You're going to bring up drop passes in one game. The guy stinks, man. I'm trying to.
Seven drop passes you didn't reference.
Yeah, okay.
You didn't reference it.
No, I don't. He was also
the Jets. Not him. Open receivers. Okay. Look at these statistics.
Yeah, they had the best
separate. That's what you told us.
They had the fourth best wide receiver separation in the league last week. The fourth best. Their wide receivers
you,
had
you
four.
You don't believe that. Everybody was covered.
Everybody was covered. They made it up. They made it up. How many? Watch it. Go back and watch. Go back and watch. He was awful. You can't admit he was awful?
The team was awful.
Oh, my God. Brett, forget it. There's no point in having a conversation if you can't admit he was awful yesterday. You can come up with the excuse, like yesterday, last week. You can come up with his excuses. You can, and it was two drops, I'm told. Officially, there's two drops, but I'm sure you could point out seven. How many touchdowns has Herbert thrown? Yeah, I get it. He hasn't won enough in this league to have the high praise that he gets. I think that's fair. Kyler Murray's been injured. He's kind of a running quarterback. He's, you know, had times where early on with Kingsbury, that offense did take flight, though, at least for a little bit. Your claim to fame with Daniel Jones is he didn't throw picks for 1 year because he never took any chances or threw the ball down the field. I mean, come on. If you can't even admit he was bad last week, then what are we talking about? The team was bad. He was atrocious. And again, he knows this, and I give him credit for standing there in front of the media and talking about it. He gets it. He understands the reaction. He knows how bad he played. And again, I'm willing to admit, I think he'll probably be better this week. How could he be worse? And he's played well against Washington in his career, and I think they could be, amazingly enough, a better football team than the Washington Commanders. I think there's a chance that that's possible, and I think they'll rebound. But am I ready to tank? I'll tell you this, man. And you tried to catch me in some sort of stupid logical thing that you thought I said, whatever, yesterday. Here's what I'll say, and I'll make this plainly clear. I would rather lose. You mentioned that I said that losing zero games would be good. I didn't. I said it would be better than having Daniel Jones under contract because of an injury that cost him the year and he's locked in next season. That's worst case scenario, not losing every game. Worst case scenario is the Giants being bad, Daniel Jones being bad, and then hurt and forced to be paid next year and not be able to get out of that contract. That's worst case scenario. I'll tell you this. I would rather lose every game than win 5 or 6. I would rather win 0 than win 7. And I know that sounds crazy. I'm tired of this. Aren't you tired of this? I'm tired of this. Now, I don't trust Joe Shane right now to draft at the top of the draft. I mean, I believe Malik Nabers will be good, but Evan Neal's a bust. And Thibodeau, I'm not going to call a bust. I think he's an okay football player, but he's not justified that pick. But having said that, I need to draft a quarterback. I need to. I need to give Brian Daboll a chance if I'm going to keep Brian Daboll at all. I need to give him a chance to have his own quarterback that he drafted and developed. I have to. That's why he was brought here. It would be a shame if he gets fired without having to do that. Well, what's the point of winning six games again? Like, honestly, what's the point? All right, I hate watching the Giants lose. It makes me sick. But, like, what's the point of this? How many years can you win six and then draft 7, 8, 9 and not have an opportunity to draft the quarterback? How many? So am I ready to tank? No, not right now. Will I be ready to tank earlier than most every other Giant fan? You bet your ass I will be. Because I can't do this anymore. Like, what are we doing? What does 6, 7 wins get you? Like, even if they rallied and showed the coach could coach and rally the troops and, you know, Locke comes in and plays relatively well, or DeVito comes in and plays relatively well, and they play some of their best football down the stretch and they win six games. I mean, what's the difference? We've done that. We did that last year. You know, like, we've done it. What does that get you? It gets us dead seasons by Halloween, rooting for meaningless victories. I'm tired of it, man. I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this crap. You think that makes me less of a fan, Brett? Call me less of a fan. I want what's best for the future of this franchise. I want to win. I want to actually win. I don't want moral victories at the end of the year to justify how hard the team plays for the coach. I've seen those wins. You know what they get you? Evan Neal and Kayvon Thibodeau. You know what they get you? A tenth pick. You know what they get you? Daniel Jones for 6 years. You gonna give me how many games he missed because of injury? Yeah. Yeah. Like, that's some sort of a positive for him. Like, hey, you keep saying 6 years. You forget how many injuries he's had. That's a real good argument. That's a real good argument. You forget how often he can't play. Right. I did. I forgot all about it. I'm sorry. I don't care how many games he played. This is the 6 year Daniel Jones. He can't be having the throws he threw. He can't be missing guys wide open. He can't be throwing picks, more pick sixes than touchdowns. Not interceptions. More pick sixes than touchdowns. But yeah, no, that's a ridiculous stat. Let's talk about 7 drop passes. Some people just can't get over it. Some people just can't get over it.
Stuck in traffic and need to vent? Dial the Fan. 888-808-1019. Powered by Paramount Plus. Stream the NFL on CBS live on Paramount Plus.
All right, let's get right to the calls. As many as we could take in the next 10 minutes. 888-808-1019. Got you for another 10 until 5 o'clock in the warm-up show. Richard in Manhattan. What's up, Richard?
Chris, yes, you are correct. 100%. Yesterday, one of the greatest days in New York baseball pre-playoff history. It was wonderful.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you this. If the Mets get in, yesterday's game will have propelled Lindor to MVP. He has to be the MVP. You can't give it to Ohtani. Right. He doesn't play the field. And I don't see anyone else in the National League who's been as influential as Lindor. Now, they got to get it.
Well, I disagree with you on the Ohtani part. But then if that's your case, like, I don't understand why yesterday was your swing.
Chris, most bad.
Let me just ask you this first. Why was yesterday the key for you if you don't think you can give it to Ohtani if he doesn't play the field and there's nobody else? Why would you make it sound like Lindor is clearly the MVP, so why did yesterday need to be that moment for you?
Well, what he did in the ninth inning. I mean, he brought
I understand that, but my point is...
How do you... Never mind. Yeah, Chris, yeah. How do you give a guy an MVP? He's the best player, most fascinating, greatest achievement, 50-50. But there is no value when you don't play the field.
There's no value? There's no value to having 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases. There's no value to have to lead in the league in LPS. There's no value in offense?
But that can't be the whole game.
I wish I would have known. I mean, then what are we so upset about Verdugo? I mean, he's playing pretty good outfield.
No, Chris, but he's not stopping any runs. Lindor is an excellent, stellar defensive player.
He's a Gold Glove caliber shortstop. There's no doubt about it.
By definition, you cannot get the. My point is, if you're Babe Ruth and you don't play the field, you can't be the most.
I disagree.
Not the most outstanding. Not the most fascinating. Achievement.
So you're saying he's not valuable to the.
I didn't say he's not valuable. He can't be the most valuable.
Yeah, I disagree.
You're putting words in my mouth.
Well, you lose
value when you don't play the defense.
You said there was no value. That's what you said.
I didn't say no value. Okay, I meant wrong. Okay. He has less value because he hasn't played defense.
There's to have such a superior offensive season to make it justified, and I feel he has a superior offensive season.
Chris, just think of it. The designated hitter has been in existence 52 years.
Yes.
No one has ever won it. Edgar Martinez, David Ortiz. Yeah. I mean, I can go back to Orlando Cepeda. I can tell you all of them.
Yep.
You cannot, if you do not play the field, it's impossible to be an MVP, no matter how great it is. This will be the test.
Yeah, he's going to win. Otani's going to win.
If Otani wins it, Chris, my feeling is, not because of his outstanding year. There's just nobody viable enough to take it.
Well,
Lindor is the only one, and the Mets have to get in. If you look at Atlanta, Philadelphia, at anyone else on the Dodgers, nobody else has hit, or Milwaukee, nobody comes close to Lindor even. So I agree.
Good.
Chris, can I just say one last thing on Tyreek Hill?
Yes.
This guy embarrassed himself. He embarrassed. I can't believe there's no agent, no lawyer, no president. They're not afraid of the guy. He should come out. Now, if he did this in New York, I can understand. He's not going to embarrass. He embarrassed the New York Police Department. He's never here. They have his back in Miami, the police department. He's going to have to watch every move he makes there. He comes out of a club. He's a marked man. Why would you embarrass the people who work in your city, who are only on your side? He could have gotten a police escort. Now, I don't blame the kid. He's a young guy. He doesn't have an agent. He doesn't have a lawyer. The president in Miami.
Yeah, he has all of those things. I'm trying to get to as many calls. I mean, he has all of those things, and he feels he was, I mean, the video, you know, he feels he was mistreated. Now, he did come out and say that he could have handled it better. And I don't think he's calling, unless I'm mistaken. I think Ramsey came out and said he wanted the police officer fired. I don't know if he was talking about possibly, you know, some litigation or whatever, but he did come out and say that he could have handled it better. Robbie and Lake Success. What's up, Robbie?
Okay. After hearing these last two calls, I'm waking up and I'm getting sick. Brett, he gets an F. He gets an F, Daniel Jones. Enough already. Move on. I can't stand it anymore. I want this guy out of here.
Yep.
Okay? As far as Richard, okay? Richard, I love you. You got brilliant points. I agree with you, Lindor. He's having an unbelievable season. But it's your opinion. It's your opinion. Everybody has an opinion, Richard. And I love you. I love you, Lawrence. But it's an opinion. And I think Lindor right now is definitely the Mets MVP and right there. But, Richard, you have an opinion, I have an opinion, but I happen to agree with you right now. He does possibly deserve the MVP.
Hey, he's in the
getting to the Mets, because I want to discuss this.
Real quick,
Mets, okay? They're unbelievable with what I saw. I watched that game the last four innings, and here's a question for you with the Yankees. And that Milwaukee team is the one team that I do fear in baseball for the National League. To get everybody else, as far as the last with the Yankees, here's my question, because this is driving me crazy. It's second and third, all right? Why are they not walking to blow the bases to get a force play, double play? Why in baseball when you have – they just need one run. All they need to do, Kansas City, is a key game for them.
Yeah.
Why don't they walk that guy to load the bases to get a force out?
Yeah, I mean, they do load the bases sometimes. I'm not sure. Some teams do it, some teams don't. Vinny and Clinton, what's up, Vinny?
Hey, man, I usually don't talk to you this early.
Well, thank you for calling.
I'm not up this early, but yeah, thanks, man. I cannot tell you how down I am on the Giants. I was a Daniel Jones supporter. I bought into the whole, yeah, he had no line. Now Daboll's calling plays. He's got a weapon. Since the Vegas game last year, it's obvious that he almost has, like, the yips.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, the drop passes, did you see the passes he threw last week in the ground behind guys? But this is my biggest concern, okay?
Yeah.
Say, okay, we don't win the five games. Say we do only win one, two games, and we do get the top pick, and we go quarterback, right?
Yeah.
Do you really feel any confidence in Carson Beck or any of these guys coming out of college that Daboll can mold?
I don't know right now. I got to see them have their season. And then, you know, things always change. I can't tell you, and I'm not a quarterback guru. I can't tell you I've seen enough or not enough. All I know is I want Daboll to get a quarterback he believes in. That's what I know. Justin in North Jersey. What's up, Justin?
Hey, I think the whole problem is that Jones won't throw to anybody unless they're 5 yards open.
Yeah, I totally agree.
You just got to let these guys play.
Yeah, especially with neighbors now. And partially could be because he's never had a wide receiver who could make a play on the ball. But yes, he's
exactly.
got it. There's open, and then there's NFL open. Like, there are things.
I watched Baker Mayfield watch drop. I know he's not Mike Evans yet, but God, there's no coverage. The guy goes over him. Neighbors can do these things.
Yeah. But
uses speed.
I'm with you, Justin. He doesn't take chances. He's had it because of his turnovers early on in his career. It's been beaten into him that he doesn't want to turn the ball over, and you don't. But you also got to take chances. And he just. But I mean, this goes beyond that. The way he played on Sunday goes beyond that. He was incapable of completing passes. Bernadette, Oceanside. What's up, Bernadette? How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
I'm telling you, Chris, the Giants are never going to win with this quarterback. Never.
Yeah, I mean.
It is impossible. Impossible. This guy is either going to get killed on the field or he's going to get hurt another way.
Well, hopefully he can stay healthy, but I agree with you. I think the Daniel Jones experiment is over. I think because it's the year of Daniel Jones and they made such a thing of that and it's to find out about him and they already paid him, you can't pull the plug just yet. But we're not many weeks away because you can't allow him to get hurt. That's worst case scenario. So we are weeks away. I would think if they don't win a game by the Dallas game, if they're 0-4, you could see the switch be made then. And we will talk about the Giants and the Jets tomorrow on a Football Friday. We got a little football tonight. Yankees, Red Sox tonight. Everybody enjoy the rest of your Thursday. I'll catch you tomorrow at 2 a.m. I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.